Hello there.
What you been up to?
Well, we've been not up to recording a bonus episode like we talked about, so our bad, y'all, for May the 4th.
We never committed to it.
Did we not? All right, well, that's good. I'm glad I didn't break any promise, because I was like, wow, I feel like we mentioned it a bunch of times. Like, oh, we'll do like a May the 4th bonus, and then we didn't fucking do it. Whoopsies.
I think we more mentioned liking the idea of doing one. But it was TBD.
Yeah, I'm like, I just can't do this every week. I don't know how people do this every week. I just don't.
I don't know.
It's just, it continues to blow my mind. Even after like a year, I'm still just like, I don't want to do this every week.
Maybe it's just because we're such hot messes and have to edit so much.
Yeah.
Like, I think maybe that.
Yeah.
We try really hard.
I know, right? Yeah, we do try. So we're here to serve you all the Star Wars stuff. And now there's a lot of stuff because there was May the 4th and then there was a bunch of Mandalorian leaks that came out after that. So now there's like a ton of shit to get into. So that's exciting.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck, dude? And this is our last episode of May.
Yay. Bye, May.
Yeah. Peace out. Maybe we can go outside next month. Probably not. Thanks, Lori. Yeah. So welcome to episode 35 of Force Toast, a Star Wars happy hour.
Yeah, it's May 16th, and I'm Laura.
I'm Alice.
And we're excited.
That almost sounded like, here's Johnny.
Sure. What are you drinking today, Alice? You got anything?
Well, I do. So as everyone knows now, I have no willpower over wine. I'm trying to reach for something that I don't know where it is. So I can only buy like single serving-ish things because otherwise I just boredom drink whole bottles and like single sittings. So I kind of have mom wine. It's a little tiny box, you see.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's yellow, and it's barefoot, and it says it's wine to go. And it's a Pinot Grigio marked as crisp and refreshing. And I drank half of it last night with Nerd Academy, and then I'm going to drink the rest today. And it says, please recycle, and I'm not going to recycle because I don't do that shit.
Good God. All right. Well, Pinot Grigio is good. That's yum. I enjoy that. I would never buy barefoot wine, but to each their own. I'm drinking Chandon Brut. What was it? Rosé Brut. Yeah. Or Brut Rosé. Something. I don't know. We got it for my birthday yesterday because Rose and I rented a car and went grocery shopping and we bought Chandon champagne when we were grocery shopping. And then we just like had a full day full of fun adventures that we normally don't get to have because we don't have a car. So yay. That was a really fun day.
Oh boy. Jeez.
It was an incredibly busy day, but part of the day was to buy champagne, which is always fun.
Yeah, that's really fancy champagne. See, the reason I had to go for the barefoot is the grocery store downstairs. The cans, the nice cans, are like $10, and the barefoot boxes are $4. So, money stuff.
Yeah. Also, that place just in general is a huge highway robbery ripoff.
Yeah, but I'm too scared to go into a real grocery store. Mm. All right, housekeeping. Yay. We did an Attack of the Clones commentary. It is out 5/16 today. So when you're hearing this, you will be able to find it. It will be up on our website. We did that with Octo Radio. And that was really fun. We love talking to Alden. And fire up Disney Plus at about 45 seconds. The movie went by really fast when you just talk through the whole thing and just like spout out random facts.
Yeah, I mean, that was mostly what I contributed to it, because obviously, you know, anyone who's listened to this show before who knows that Alice's favorite movie is Attack of the Clones, and my favorite movie is not Attack of the Clones, so I was like, well, I'm just going to bring trivia to the party. That's going to be my contribution, and Alden's obviously a joy, so we had a lot of fun with him, but yeah, I think his whole thing was that he was talking about, like, yeah, like, you don't have to watch the movie with the commentary, but I'm like, I don't know if that makes any sense, like, to each their own, but I think it would be way more fun and way more worth your while to actually fire up Disney Plus and watch along with us while we talk about stuff. I think that, I don't know, that's just my personal opinion. Everyone, do what you want. It's your life. I don't give a shit.
Also, in housekeeping is we will be on the next episode of The Sith List as they work their way to episode 200. Holy shit.
Very exciting. We should mention Nerd Academy. We don't know when that's going to come out, but we recorded an episode where we basically reviewed the entire season 7 of The Clone Wars with the podcast The Nerd Academy. So we'll link to that too. Stay tuned. Lots of places where you can find other Force Toast content.
Yep, we'll be tweeting it. And as always, you can check shit out on our site because we keep track for the most part.
Hell yeah.
We try really hard.
Yeah. Okay, so now getting into Caravan of Corrections. Speaking of our Attack of the Clones commentary, we definitely fucked up and said that one of the characters in the Outlander Club is Katie Lucas's cameo, and it's not. It's Amanda Lucas. And I sort of questioned it right when we were talking about it in the commentary, and then I was like, no, I'll just go with this. This is fine. But I remember thinking that may not be right, and it's not. It was Amanda Lucas that, in fact, makes a cameo appearance in the Outlander Club at the beginning of Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, you know, in my mind, the only Lucas children involved are Katie and Jet. But I didn't even know there was an Amanda. Not that I pay attention to Jilu's family tree. That's okay. And then a new thing that I will have to just keep up with is we have a missed Marsden watch. Oh, so when we were talking about Leslie Headland the other day, or last episode, and I mentioned the movie Bachelorette, and then I looked it up on IMDb, and I forgot to spout out this little tidbit, but James Marsden is in it.
Good times.
So, hurrah. And I think lastly, we kind of talked about D-Squad helping out in Clone Wars and the final episodes. It's not the actual D-Squad, I believe. Someone had mentioned. We were uncertain of it too, but I don't think it's any of the droids from the actual D-Squad.
Yeah.
It's just a squad of droids. So they could still be D-Squad. I hate saying D-Squad because it makes me think Dick Squad.
I know, that's what I always think too. Right? Yeah, that was our buddy Andy that pointed that out. I don't remember if we explicitly said like, oh yeah, it's the droids from D-Squad, but yeah, it doesn't matter. Somebody may have implied that, so that was not the case. Apparently they were all different droids than what we saw in the D-Squad arc of the Clone Wars. So blah, 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 whatever. What else do we have in Caravan of Corrections? Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
If that's the only thing,
yeah.
If those are the only things, I'll accept that. We did okay.
Yeah, I'm happy with it. One was just iffy. We didn't commit to it. Another we committed to. And another is just about James Marsden.
Yeah.
So I think we're okay.
One even isn't our show, so fuck it. We'll just come on everybody else's shows and just fuck those up.
Suckers. No, we won't. We'll try not to do that.
I have a Caravan of Corrections for The Rise of Skywalker. I just noticed this the last time I watched it. Did I talk about this last time?
Uh-oh.
The Rise of Skywalker, there's this, like, I think I talked about this somewhere. Maybe it was when we were doing the commentary. I noticed this, like, weird continuity error where Ben Solo is running on Exegol with his blaster, and he fires the two shots at the guards, and then all of a sudden his blaster just disappears, and there's no explanation as to where it goes. Like, I don't know if he throws it down because all of a sudden it's, like, out of charge, or if he's, like, holding it and then just randomly drops it somewhere. Like, it just disappears into thin air at one point. It's kind of funny.
Do blasters run out of lasers?
I think they have to be charged, or they have some sort of ammo. I feel like I remember reading that maybe at some point in something, but it's a rare occurrence, I think, that they don't actually fire. Like, Luke's gets jammed or whatever in A New Hope, but I don't know.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah, I just watched Rise of Skywalker because reasons.
Dope.
Yeah. It took me a while to get through. That's okay.
Yeah. Okay. So all of the news that we've had in the last 2 weeks, I sort of organized from film to TV to books and to miscellaneous. Does that make sense to kind of go through it like that, do you think?
It is fine. We can do whatever we want because it's our show.
Sure.
So we do have a lot of news. I don't think much is officially official, but highly probable. maybe?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of rumors that are out there that are circulating, but most of them are coming from pretty reliable sources.
Yeah. So first up, Taika Waititi is getting his own film. Hell yes. Ugh.
Dude, are you so excited? Like, I'm so pumped. Like, obviously, Thor, Ragnarok, most rewatchable Marvel movie. If you say otherwise, then you're no fun, and you're not going to like his Star Wars, and I don't really care to hear from you about it.
Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. What if he brings in Jeff Goldblum somehow?
God, that would be fun. Can you imagine Jeff Goldblum in Star Wars?
Yeah. It's just the only thing is, no one ever remembers his character names. He's always Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, no, he's just Jeff Goldblum. It doesn't matter. Although I can tell you that he's Ian Malcolm in Jurassic Park.
Oh, yep. I couldn't have told you that. I would have just said Jeff Goldblum. Bring him in.
Everyone knows who you're talking about.
We need to watch What We Do in the Shadows. That is an amazing movie. We could watch it over Zoom.
I have not actually seen that movie. I tried to watch it one time and I didn't get it and I turned it off. So I think I just need to give it another shot. I'm sure I was just in like a shitty mood or something, but I'll get around to it. Is it on Netflix by chance? Because then we can do Netflix party.
I'll have to look it up. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'll have to look it up.
We'll find it somewhere.
It's very funny. Yeah, Netflix party would work well. The other cool thing about this news is this woman the writer or assistant writer?
I think she's going to be the co-writer of the film.
Okay. So Christy Wilson Cairns, or Carnes. She is known for 1917, which did not have a lot of dialogue, if I recall correctly. Something called The Last Night in Soho. No idea what that is. But then, something Laura and I care very, very deeply about.
Fuck yeah. She worked as a staff writer on season 3 of Penny Dreadful, which is the fucking best show ever.
It is so good, and it has Josh Hartnett, and it has Timothy Dalton, who has aged very well, and Ava Green's pretty cool, and it's got just, like, awesome people, like Billy Piper's in it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, so that's great that we, number one, are going to have a writer that is a woman on a Star Wars film, and two, that it's going to be somebody who has worked on some kind of weird shit. I'm excited about that.
And he can also make serious, but not too serious, you know what I mean? I don't know if you've seen Jojo Rabbit yet.
I have, yeah. I loved Jojo Rabbit. I thought that was great.
God. The thing with the shoes just killed me.
Oh my God, right?
Yeah. So he's got a really good range, but I love his humor. And he did the finale of Mando season 1, right?
I believe, yeah. Yeah, that he did episode 8 of season 1.
That nurse droid man just killed me.
Right.
I think this in particular is one of the few StarWars.com official things that we have.
Yeah, this was a rumor a while back, but on May the 4th, they did finally confirm it along with this co-writer, Wilson Cairns. She got confirmed as well. So that's exciting.
And then we're getting so much stuff on Mando 2, and I'm like, why? Can't they just keep their mouth shut and make it a surprise?
No.
Like season 1?
No. That's out the window now.
Are these all deep fakes? Are they just doing this because we're all like going crazy in quarantine and they're trying to brighten our day? Like, what is going on?
Yeah, I have no
idea.
I
don't understand.
I don't know where like the disconnect happened between season 1 and 2 where we literally did not know anything about season 1, you guys. Remember like going into it? Like we knew Gina Carano, we knew Pedro Pascal, we knew Carl Weathers, were all in the cast. I think we had all the directors announced at one point. And now, like, directors' names have been leaking out before they wanted to announce it. All of these actors that I don't know if they were supposed to be a surprise or if these things are leaking on purpose to try and gauge fan enthusiasm. I don't understand what's gone so differently this time around. It's so weird.
Yeah, some stuff has leaked just like oddly, and there's some stuff that's leaked a long, long time ago. But I'm shocked. I don't want all of these leaks.
Yeah, I could go without it. I would like to be surprised about some things. Like, come on.
Yeah, so one of them is there's someone named Tillafy.
Mm-hmm.
Timothy Oliphant. That's a creature.
Timothy
in Harry Potter.
If it is, that's news to me. Timothy Oliphant is the name of the Oliphant. Actor who's joining season 2. That information just leaked, I think, yesterday when we're recording this, which is kind of cool. So clearly, I guess you probably don't know anything or aren't familiar with his career. I know him from the movie This Is Where I Leave You. Shout out to our buddy Andy, who I know really likes that movie too, but it's an amazing movie.
Oh, so an Oliphant, I think, is a creature from Lord of the Rings, perhaps.
Got it.
I don't know. Don't quote me on that. It's in Tolkien Gateway Oliphants. Anyway, so I looked him up on IMDb, and he kind of looks like Josh Duhamel, yeah. Fergie's husband.
He does. He totally does.
We've always got to bring in Fergie. And he did a whole lot of movies that were like those weird early 2000, like teen college movies, like The Girl Next Door, about the... Was she like the porn star who lived next to some teenage boys? Anyway.
I have no idea.
He's done some cute movies. I looked him up. And I also had thought that maybe he did something with James Marsden. And I tried really hard to find something because everything must connect to James Marsden now. But he was in things like Scream 2 and The First Wives Club. He's had quite the
Holy
career
shit.
Back
I'm trying
in the
to
day.
Think of what he who he was in The First Wives Club. That's so weird.
I bet he was just like a restaurant person.
Oh, maybe. That's hysterical. He was like, he would have been really young, I think, when that movie came out. I love that movie. Have you seen that, First Wives Club?
No, I've only seen the You Don't Own Me video. But he's also been in a bunch of episodes of Fargo.
Yeah.
Which I need to watch. Have you watched that?
No, I only watched season one, which was really good. And then I fell off the wagon with that show. I don't know. I just never got back around to it. But I think he's most known for his... Like, for his role in Justified on FX, I think that's, like, his biggest sort of most recent thing that he's been on regularly. But I don't know. Apparently he's been in a bunch of Westerns and stuff. So people were like, oh, look, another Western for Timothy Oliphant. Huh. I'm like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, so also for the Mando casting, I had remembered seeing this, like, image that was a grid of actors and the characters they were going to play. Do you remember seeing that floating around
no,
like a few months ago?
That doesn't sound familiar at all.
I remember seeing it, so I Google searched it, and here's what we have. Pedro Pascal, Carl Weathers, Gina Carano, obviously. Bill Burr, back as Mayfeld, is on this image. Hmm. There's some woman, Chloe Bennett. The words are fuzzy, and I can't see good. It looks like she would be an Aphra, perhaps.
Okay.
Someone else... playing Blurg, I don't know. Someone playing Shriv from Battlefront. The woman who plays Iden Versio, Janina something or other. I can't read this because the text is too fuzzy. A guy playing Bossk.
Huh.
Showing the armorer again. And then someone playing Mon Mothma as well.
Oh, yeah. Genevieve O'Reilly, I think, got confirmed to be coming back to the Cassian show. I don't think that there was anything about her being in Mando, though. That would be news.
Yeah. Anywho, so who knows? But I really hate that we're getting all of this bullshit. It's really pissing me off.
Yeah. I'm like, can we put, like, a cap on some of this? Like, I wish that they... I don't know. There's some things... Like, some people have been announced that I, like, don't care about and don't know. Like, there's some guy that, like... has had roles in, I think, the Terminator movies. And I was like, I don't know who that is. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been interesting. I mean, like the director list like leaked early on. That got confirmed, I think, by Lucasfilm finally that like, who was it? Robert Rodriguez and Peyton Reed are both going to be directing. They finally confirmed that on the This Week in Star Wars this past week or maybe the week before. But yeah.
I mean, the directors, leaking those is nothing. We knew the directors so far in advance for season one, I feel like, or we knew several of them.
Maybe, yeah.
But all the actors and the characters we're getting, I love that they're going to tie shit in. But man, am I just kind of like bummed if these are all true, because other news in Mando is that Katie Sackhoff actually did film some things as Bo-Katan. And that was an article from Slash Film, it looked like. And in that article, it also said that Ahsoka Tano being in season two was definitely confirmed. I don't really trust anything until Disney says it, but that's the first time that I read that it was definitely confirmed anywhere. So I don't know about that. And good for Katie Sackhoff. She's She looks like Bo-Katan easily.
Yeah, and I think that would have... I'm really excited for this. The idea of seeing Katee Sackhoff in live action Star Wars is really, really awesome. I just, like, would have really loved for that to be a surprise for all of the Clone Wars fans out there that, like, have been committed to that show and love that show for so long, and Rebels fans. She appears in Star Wars Rebels, too. Like, mm-hmm. that would have been such a nice treat for all of those people to get to see Bo-Katan and, like, instantly know who she was without any explanation. That would have been so fucking cool. But no, now this information leaked that apparently she, like, was filming back in February on set. I guess it must have been right around the time that they wrapped, because I think they, didn't they wrap filming in late February or something?
I think it was March, maybe. But, oh, you know, I also remember seeing something, and I don't know if this is in one of the articles, too, but the chick who voices Sabine was in one of those weird pictures that I saw about Mando cast.
Yeah, that's all rumors, I think, though. I think people are making the assumption that she's going to be in Mandalorian with Ahsoka because Ahsoka's going to be in it. And that we pretty much mm-hmm. know for certain at this point. But I'm like, I think people are just making the assumption that, like, why wouldn't Sabine yeah. be with her? And it's like, well, it's a big wide galaxy. Sabine mm-hmm. might be busy doing something else. I don't know. Like, it's strange.
Speaking of Mando assumptions, here's the doozy that Laura and I fucking hate. Temuera Morrison is allegedly going to be back. Now, the first article I read said, has Boba Fett.
Yeah, that was the Hollywood Reporter that broke that story, and they were pretty clear that they think it's Boba Fett.
Yeah, but I feel like if perhaps it's someone who really loves Boba Fett and they just like went one track mind, you know, and they're like, oh yes, it must be Boba Fett because it's him, da 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 da. I'm just going to hope for Rex or another clone, maybe even a child of a clone like we saw in Force Collector or something. I'm hoping it is anyone but Boba Fett, but I think maybe assuming it's Boba could be jumping the gun, and I really would hate for it to be Boba after what we read in Aftermath.
Yeah, I just don't understand what the appeal is for bringing that character back. Like, I don't understand why people don't just accept that he's dead. He had, like, that dumb cartoon death. He's a dumb cartoon nothing character. I just don't care. Like, and people are just like, oh, his armor is really cool looking. It's like, yeah, so is the Mandalorian. We have Din Djarin as our Mandalorian. We don't need Boba Fett anymore. There's too much Boba Fett content in the fucking Star Wars universe as it is. But yeah, so their whole exclusive was that, oh yeah, he's coming back to play Boba Fett. But then I saw, right after that the editor-in-chief of Cinelinks, Jordan Mazon, said that his sources say that Temuera Morrison isn't only going to be playing Boba Fett, that he might also be playing other, like, he might be playing more than one character on this show.
I mean, he could, but I don't want Boba Fett in there. Like, fuck
I know,
Boba Fett.
I know, I just don't care. And I guess I didn't pick up on this, but apparently at the end of that episode where Ming-Na Wen gets killed, the person that approaches her is wearing spurs, and that's why, again, why people think it's Boba Fett. And I'm like, like, sure, I guess. That still just sucks to me.
Well, it could be, like, the sheriff of Freetown, because the little story in Aftermath that it linked, like, Malakili and the, like, Boba Fett armor and this little, like, roped-off village that I think they called Freetown or something like that. So it could be the sheriff of Freetown.
Yeah.
And I think one of them, like, killed, there were, like, two guys, and one killed the other guy so that he would get Boba's armor. So there should be a blaster hole in the armor, if it's listening to what was written in Aftermath at all, which wouldn't surprise me if they don't. But I don't want Boba. Should we, like, make a hard bet on Boba not being in it and do some sort of celebration if there's no Boba?
I'm not feeling that. Not really into betting and stuff. Because okay. I think that I'm thinking that he is going to be in it. Like, I think that we're probably wrong, even though we both want him to not be in the show.
He should be dead.
Yeah.
Maybe he's, like, mummified somehow by the Sarlacc. Like, the Sarlacc had a hiccup. And, like, this mummified Boba Fett just, like, popped up, and people, for some reason, are, like, back on Tatooine, and they're like, hey, what's this mummy thing? Kick, kick. And then they're like, whoa, weird, he's dead, but looks like a person.
Yeah, so now it's just the mummy in Star Wars, which is fun because those movies are fun and silly. And then maybe we can get Brendan Fraser in Star Wars, which would be really fun and crazy.
No, what we do is we swap out James Marsden for Brendan Fraser.
There it is. All right, we're going to bring in James Marsden.
Boom. Yes, perfect.
Yep.
Whew. Okay, there's a lot of plotting afoot for Mando season two. I'm like in total disbelief how much information or disinformation we have, because we didn't even have a lot of disinformation about season one, if I recall correctly.
Misinformation, I think, is the word you're looking for.
Disinformation. I think that's a real word.
I don't, but okay, that works. Maybe I'm wrong. Someone caravan to correct us. The whole thing with season two about with Mandalorian is that I think it's the strangest thing to me is that it's somehow on track to actually still come out on time. This was announced as being set to premiere in October 2020. And just recently, I think this past week, Disney CEO Bob Chapek, I don't know. He's sticking to his
Bob two.
Yeah, Bob number two. He's sticking to his guns, saying that Mandalorian is going to be on time and on track. So that's cool.
Well, you know, I read or one of the things about Mandalorian that I appreciate, and this is something I've harped on with the prequels, is that they've really worked on being innovative with regards to filmmaking and special effects and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a lot in The Mandalorian that is like a LCD or LED screen or something like that instead of an actual set. So that's a lot easier to reproduce with things in the background and stuff, or like filming things with less people than it would be to have like a whole group of people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that video screen that they use is really neat. It's cool. But I imagine that's a lot of work on the back end for people at, like, ILM who are having to design all of the world and do all the world building. So, I don't know. It's interesting, though. It really is cool how they're sort of pushing the bounds of technology to make the show work. And it definitely worked for season one. So,
yeah.
Season two should be great.
And I'm sure we will learn more about that and what it's actually called when we actually watch the docuseries for them creating The Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you about that. So you're not caught up on that either?
I never started it.
Oh, good. All right. Well, I'm glad it's not just me then, because, yeah, I watched episode one and it was fantastic. And I just have not had time to watch episode two. So fuck it.
I've heard it's great. I fully planned to watch it. It's just I got busy with – I don't know what I got busy with. I got busy with doing my daily workout that is approximately 23 minutes long and my daily boredom nap.
Yeah. So we're not totally sure what you're doing for the other 23 hours of the day, but that's okay.
Yeah. I read every night before bed. I've been learning about Winston Churchill.
That's cool. Did you watch The Crown? Have you watched that show?
I only watched season one, but I hear that I should watch season two.
Yeah. Season two and season three, I think, are both really good. I just finished season three.
And here's a fun fact, not to go too off topic or anything. Here's a fun fact. So is it true that Helena Bonham Carter's in season three has Princess Anne?
No, she's Princess Margaret.
Margaret, whatever. Close enough. So the Bonham Carter family was very ritzy in back in the day London, and it was like one of her relatives was very good friends with Winston Churchill, and I think her name was Violet Bonham Carter. So it just, you know, links and stuff.
Right on, man. Random thoughts with Alice. Yeah,
I'm just going for it. It's like when you're just word association, thought association that makes no sense. Welcome to my life. I constantly make no sense. It's a little embarrassing, but that is okay.
Sure.
I'm fine with it.
Okay.
Boom. And then we got a little bit of maybe news on Cassian. I mean, who knows if any of this is actually real?
Yeah, but I will say that Bespin Bulletin is the source that revealed this, and they've been pretty reliable in years past. We've gotten pretty good information from them, but their reveal this past week was that Jimmy Smits and Alistair Petrie are both returning to the Star Wars world. Jimmy Smits, of course, played Bail Organa in every iteration that we've gotten of Bail Organa. And Alistair Petrie played General Davitz Draven in Rogue One, who is, I think, credited in the visual dictionary as being the person who recruited Cassian. So there was an episode that we did a while back where I predicted that that actor and that character would be coming back. So that's a win for Laura.
I think we both predicted Jimmy Smits as well. He's a very good-looking man. He hasn't aged in, like, 20 years.
No, he looks amazing. And Genevieve O'Reilly, she's the other one that she looks amazing, too. And she's coming back for Cassian as well. That was revealed a while back. I think we talked about that already.
Hell yeah. And let's see. So there's rumors about Hayden Christensen, and is that for the Kenobi show?
Yeah, I think this is what people are speculating, is that he might be coming back. I'm trying to figure out, like, I looked around a little bit and I couldn't exactly pinpoint where this came from. I think this whole rumor mill started from a website called LRM Online, which I hadn't heard about, and I don't know if this is a reliable source or not, because I haven't heard of it before. I'm assuming not. So I think this might just be the rumor mill at its, you know, at its core, just going hard for whatever reason, saying that Hayden Christensen's going to be coming back and is going to be playing Anakin Skywalker in the Kenobi series.
Oh, maybe it's like flashbacks or a dream. And I know, like, I come back to the stupid Kenobi book a lot, but Kenobi has nightmares of, like, what he did and just walking away and stuff like that. So maybe it's something like that. And I would love to see Hayden again with just, like, the wavy pretty hair and not, like, that awkwardly dyed black hair like that pizza movie with Emma Roberts, because that did not look good on him.
No, that was quite awful.
Yeah, that was very awful. But overall, I think he could look pretty good. They could fix him up, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you can fix his appearance. There are things about Hayden I don't know if anyone can fix when it comes to acting. So we'll see.
Well, if he was directed well, he could. Just like the other night when we were talking and he was actually nominated for some awards for acting. Whoa.
Yeah, but we established that it was a Golden Globe, which is the drunkest award ceremony that's out there. So
I could win a Golden Globe then? Mm-hmm. If I were a side character in a movie, I would be... Someone would nominate me.
I think that you would be a better actor than Hayden Christensen is, but that's my personal opinion.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Should we write a play? We have plenty of time.
No, we shouldn't.
No. Okay. No. It could be funny.
It won't be.
Way to crush my dreams and rain on my parade. Goodbye.
You're not going to write a play. You know you're not going to write a play.
I know. I fucking hate writing. Like, ugh. Gross.
I just know you're not going to do that.
Artsy shit. Boo. Do not like. Okay. Next up, Leslie Headland confirmed. Was she not officially confirmed before?
No, it was a rumor before. I think, again, from like the Hollywood Reporter or from Variety or something, that getting her own Star Wars series that allegedly was going to be sort of female-centric, and her being the showrunner for that, was just a rumor that was confirmed on May the 4th by Lucasfilm that is actually happening. She's going to be the executive producer of her own Star Wars series on Disney+, so that's exciting. And Leslie Headland, if you recall, is best known for, I think, working on the series Russian Doll. She was the showrunner for that show.
Indeed. I highly recommend watching that. Bachelorette might not be everyone's cup of tea, but Smilf is a really cute, funny show. It's on Showtime, so it may be hard to find.
Yeah. But
I recommend that.
So that's all we have in, like, TV show news. So that's exciting. So that's movie TVs. So we've got some book news, which is kind of exciting. We don't normally... normally, that's all we're stuck with. So this has been kind of nice that we've gotten actual, like, stuff to talk about in terms of news and rumors. I'm not going to complain, but I'm also going to complain because there's too much Mandalorian stuff leaking out. I don't like it.
Ugh. And I think we have two books coming out next month, right? We have whatever the new Alphabet Squadron one is and Queen's Peril are both next month.
I have no idea. I feel like one of them might be in July, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Well, it's in July, The High Republic, or is that August?
Dude, I have no idea. I can't keep any of them straight. Go ask our friends at, what's it called? At The Living Force. They'll know.
Well, they change all the time. So, I mean, anything that's in June, it could just end up in November. Who knows? But yay for books. And EW, I feel like, is reliable, yes.
Sure. Entertainment Weekly posted this excerpt from this new book that I think we heard about for the first time at, like, a convention. I think it was New York Comic Con that this info came out.
I think it was San Diego Comic Con, and you had tweeted about it. And we were both like, I don't really care about that.
Yeah, it's this anthology, The Clone Wars Stories of Light and Dark. So if you want to go check this out, I didn't actually read it, but I bet it's really good because it's written by Rebecca Roanhorse, who I like as a writer. I enjoyed her. I enjoyed the sort of style and everything of Resistance Reborn. I just didn't really care for that, the fact that that book had to exist at all and nothing happened in it. But the story that she writes in this anthology is called Dark Vengeance, and it's the true story of Darth Maul and his revenge against the Jedi known as Obi-Wan Kenobi, which is a very long title.
yeah, so it's just a little backstory. I read it, and it's Maul's thoughts while he's living in the trash land.
Oh, so it's like crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of just, or I don't know if they're all going to be like that, but it's just kind of his thoughts and, you know, what he was doing, how he felt when Savage came around, things like that. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I remember you saying that it's a young reader, or not a young reader, but it's more on the younger side.
Yeah, if I recall, it's like whatever's below young adult. Is it middle grade? Is that what they call it, maybe?
I don't know. But part of me, I'm like, do I want to read it? And then part of me is like, meh, fuck it.
Yeah, I might. I don't know. So overall, like this, if the story is about Maul and it's based when you're saying it is, it isn't. Does it just sound nuts or no? Like, I feel like he was just like, that was back when he was just like a crazy person.
Yeah, I kind of skimmed it. It was very short. I don't know if that was the whole story or not.
Gotcha.
But it's just like a rambling slice of life, basically. And I don't normally like slice of life things. They confuse me. I'm not a fan of that type of stuff. It was fine, but I don't know if it's something that I would read.
Right on.
We'll see.
Yeah. Well, the next thing that we have in book news is that this was a May the 4th thing that happened and I thought was just kind of cool and wanted to share. A frequent Star Wars audiobook narrator Mark Thompson performed an excerpt of the Rise of Skywalker novelization on Instagram Live. So that link is out there that you can see. If you're into audiobooks and you want to check that one out, obviously Mark Thompson's insanely talented. And the production value of this, like, random Instagram Live video is actually really good. Like, it sounds really good. So it's kind of surprising. I do a bunch of workout videos on Instagram Live, and the sound quality and shit always sucks. So I was really surprised at how good this sounded. But yeah, that's kind of cool, and that's out there. So we'll link to that if you want to go check it out. I know we've got a lot of people who are into Star Wars reading and audiobooks and stuff that listen to the show, and you may have missed that.
Yeah, I've seen several of the cast reading books, mostly like children's books. I think Daisley Ridley read like a Rey and BB-8 children's book on some social media platform.
Cute.
That seems to be the new cool thing to do. Maybe we should do that and we can monetize.
Read children's books?
Yes.
I don't want to read children's books.
Well, yeah, we'd have to buy them and I don't want to do that. But anyway, it sounds like a lot of people are doing that, but it's really cool that he like went out and did the novelization live. Hell yeah.
Yeah, it was neat. It looked like he was just like recording in his own home. So he must have like a straight up like a dope recording studio and like nice microphone and shit. It was awesome. It was just him reading. I was just like, and it's weird because I feel like he is so much younger than I imagined. Like when I hear him speak, I feel
really?
Like he must be so much older. Like I feel like he'd be in his like 50s or 60s. He looks like he's like in his 30s. He looks like a hipster's like 30s. Late 30s dude. Maybe he's like early 40s or something, but I just remember thinking he looks a lot younger than I thought, than what I would imagine.
Is he hot?
If you're into like bearded dudes, like hipster bearded dudes, he kind of has that kind of look going for him. But maybe that's his quarantine look. Maybe that's not normally how he looks. I don't know.
Gross.
To each their own.
Yeah, hard pass. Interesting though. Interesting nonetheless. And it's great that he has a nice setup. Much nicer than ours, I'm sure, which is not hard to do.
Yeah, ours is ridiculous and it's pretty ghetto. So one of the last things I wanted to mention was the Rise of Resistance. There's like a really cool video that you can go out and watch now, since none of us are able to get to Disney World or Disneyland for the time being, and the Rise of Resistance is their newest ride. I got to go on that when I was there in January. But even people who go to Disneyland or who have the opportunity to go regularly, you have to get there at the ass crack of dawn in order to have a chance to get on Rise of the Resistance. So I think the general population, for the most part, hasn't seen it. The ride itself is about a 15 to 20 minute experience. They whittled it down to about 3 minutes. And they posted these, like, sort of pop-up video, little fun facts about how the whole thing came together in this video. So you can actually sort of go on the virtual ride just sitting in your own home watching it on a video. It's kind of cool. So we'll post that if you want to check that out online or in our show notes.
I am so glad you found that because I had no idea. And I will be watching this at some point during the week.
Yeah, it's freaking cool. Like, it very much feels like actually being on the ride, except you don't have to deal with the sort of, like, nausea-inducing 3D element that sometimes gets to some people. So it's pretty cool and worth checking out, I think.
That's awesome. What a great idea, and how kind of them to do that, because no one's going to be going to Disney for a while. Although I think I saw that Disney Shanghai opened, which I'm just a little surprised at.
Yeah.
Seems a little soon.
That's weird. Good to know, though.
Yeah, good luck. And they're actually not making the, I don't know what kind of character or cast member you call them, but like the princesses and stuff, they're not having them wear facial coverings, which I think is kind of interesting.
Oh, but, really?
Yeah. But your pictures have to be socially distant, and any people entering the park have to have their faces covered and have their temperature checked.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense, I think.
Yeah, but temperature check isn't foolproof. Tons of people have it and don't have a fever.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing of, like, all the asymptomatic characters of COVID-19, like, that's a real danger. So that's kind of surprising. But, I mean, at the same time, it's like, what else can you do? Like, until there's a vaccine,
yeah.
Like, there's only so many measures you can take. So, but that's really surprising that they're opening up any kind of huge public place like mm-hmm. that. That's crazy.
Yeah, and I think that I really, really bet that Florida Disney World is going to reopen much sooner than Disneyland because it's so much more massive. There's so much more space just by being in Florida.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It takes up a lot more, like, square footage. Speaking of Disney World, did you see that the Ahsoka headbands on May the 4th, the whole controversy with those?
Oh, the mini ears?
Yeah. So they released Ahsoka Tano ones on May the 4th, and it was, like, this big special thing. And I think they went on sale, like, 7 in the morning. And, like, all these fucking, like, bots or something, like, got online and bought all of them and then posted them on eBay for sale for, like, $400, which is fucking shitty. And people are mad about it, and they're right to be mad about it. But I'm also, like, the original price on the Disney website was $80 for a fucking headband.
People spend money on that shit. Like, some people are just Disney heads. I think there's probably a real word.
I'm, like, a huge Ahsoka Tano fan. I cannot imagine spending, and I spend money frivolously. Let me also put that out there. And I literally cannot imagine spending $80 on a headband. Like, that is just mind-boggling to me that people would spend that much money on those. When I saw that, I was like, oh, hell no. Like, no thank you.
I think if I were a pass member and lived by one of the parks, I would maybe get one. I really liked the Leia buns one that came out in the past year sometime.
Gotcha. Yeah.
It's like silver and sparkly and then the brown, like, Cinnabon buns for the mini ears.
Yeah, my whole thing with anything like that is that if you get on some of these rides, you're going to have to take it off, like, or it'll fly off. And I'm like, can you imagine if you spent $80 on fucking ears and they flew off in the middle of Space Mountain? Like, that would suck.
That would really fucking suck. Holy shit. Yeah, I don't understand the ears or the ears things. When I went to Disney World, okay, Grant, the first time I went, I was probably like 5. And the second time I went, I was in high school for a dance competition. But the only ears I remember there being were those stupid hats like they had in the Mickey Mouse Club, you know, that were just like, it was just like a black, like.
Yeah, like the cap.
Like bowl.
With the ears on it.
Yeah, with the plastic ears on the side. And then there's like a little logo of Mickey Mouse. And I'm kind of like, do kids even know who Mickey Mouse is nowadays? Because I'm pretty sure the Disney Channel doesn't show all those old cartoons. Some of it's rightfully so, because I think the early ones may be a little racist.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. But we grew up on them, so, like, we know what it is. But do kids know who Mickey is?
I truly don't know, man. I'm not sure. I don't know. Because they think, I guess it's sort of the same thing. Like, we used to have, or the original Disney mouse was Steamboat Willie. And I feel like most people, like, don't know who Steamboat Willie is. And I didn't know who Steamboat Willie is until I went to San Francisco and went to the Disney Family Museum at the Presidio. And then I was like, who the fuck is this? And I, like, I legitimately did not know who Steamboat Willie was. And I'm 32 years old. So I, like, I'm sure that's one of those things that it might eventually just fade away from existence. Although there is the big statue of him right when you walk into Disneyland or Disney World, I think. Of him standing
there must be some way to do that. I wonder what's on Disney Plus that's like original Mickey Mouse. I'm gonna look that up.
Oh, you
later.
Know what though? Back when like the when Rebels was on Disney XD, I used to have to like scroll through all of the alphabetized lists to get to Star Wars Rebels. I think there are some like Mickey Mouse like centered things for like really little kids that are out there. That sounds familiar now that I think about. Now that I flash back to all the scrolling in, that I had to do on the damn Disney apps before Rebels was on Disney Plus.
But not like the cartoon animated stuff that we grew up with, though, right? Like,
yeah, no,
like
I
I've seen
not.
Some Mickey Mouse stuff that's like the, I don't know how to describe my arm movements now, but like the
like puppets?
Pixar-ish but cheap.
Oh, like the 3D animation?
Yeah. I don't know. I was a TV baby. My mom just sat me in front of the TV and said, okay, here, and then just walked away, and I just watched TV all day.
Right on.
So I've seen a lot of Mickey Mouse and a lot of Bugs Bunny and Looney Tunes.
Bugs Bunny. I remember Bugs Bunny. That was a good time. I wonder if those are still on.
I don't think so. I don't know where you would find them unless there's some weird channel that has nothing but Looney Tunes.
Yeah, like throwback Looney Tunes. I would watch that channel.
Yeah, I would watch throwback Looney Tunes. And then remember when they did Tiny Toons?
Yeah.
That was like the children version of it.
Yeah.
And that was so cool.
They were cute.
And then, yeah. And then what was the one with like Pinky and the Brain? That wasn't Tiny Toons. As well, was it?
No, but I feel like Pinky and the Brain came on like right after, and I didn't watch that show.
Yeah. Or like Martin the Martian. That was a pretty funny character.
Marvin. The furry... Marvin the Martian.
Marvin. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. And the big red furry thing and Pepe Le Pew with the Barber of Seville episode.
Good times.
It was amazing.
Do you remember the show Hey Arnold and they did the Barber of Seville and Hey Arnold?
Yeah. Hey Arnold.
That shit was awesome.
I used to love Oh, what did I love? Hey Arnold was one of the very first cartoons on Nickelodeon. I remember the very first ones were Rugrats, Doug, and Ren and Stimpy.
Yep.
Which is shocking because Ren and Stimpy was a pretty provocative show, if I recall correctly. My mom banned me from watching it because the very first episode that they had there was a board game. You know how they'd have like random kind of fake commercials and shit?
Yeah.
There was a board game called Don't Whiz on the Electric Fence.
What?
And she was like, what are you watching? You can't watch this ever again. I'm like, oh, okay. It was kind of boring anyway, but I like Rugrats. Or Angela Anaconda. Do you remember that one?
No, I don't know that one.
Okay. Anyway, we should get off this topic because a lot of people will have no fucking clue what we're talking about.
Yeah, I know. But in terms of getting into things that people do know with cartoons, should we talk about the Clone Wars Season 7 finale?
We shall. Okay. So I just rewatched it, and it was the first time I've rewatched it since I first watched
it. Gotcha. So this is the season finale of Season 7. What was the episode called again?
Part 4, Victory and Death.
Gotcha. Yeah. I hate when they do these dumb titles where they're just like, this and this. It's like Wolves in a Door. It's like, could you really not come up with another, like, a better title? Like, I feel like that was, like, the placeholder, and then you just didn't change it. Stupid.
Maybe they have a dartboard of words and they're just like, okay, like, huge dartboard. Yeah. And they just close their eyes and they're like, we're gonna have two words, guys.
Boop, yeah, and boop. The is like the bullseye and it's huge.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably what they do sometimes. Yeah. Anywho, so I shall recap the episode and then we can chit chat about whatever the fuck we feel
like, man.
Because it's our show.
Let's do it.
We do what we want. So we open up on the Republic Star Cruiser up in hyperspace, right where we left off. And where we left off Rex had his chip taken out. Ahsoka's talking to him. They're like, oh my god, how are we gonna escape? And we have our little cute, sweet droid babies who are all gonna help them out. Ahsoka is just dead set on not killing anyone, which is really nice of her, because if I were in her spot, I'd just be like, let's fuck them up. I'm gonna decapitate, like, everyone and their brother. Fuck off. You know,
yeah.
I mean, maybe that's just me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that sounds legit, like, especially when your life is threatened by a giant, massive army that all have their helmets painted like your face.
Yeah, just like, fuck off. Yeah. So Rex sets everything to stun. Good job, kind sir. And they have to find a shuttle because the escape pods are donezo.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Maul goes into a whole fit of badassery in the control room, and he just totally wreaks havoc, just like the inside. You know, everywhere on the inside of these ships, there's always a giant place where there's a bunch of tubes and a bunch of holes and a bunch of cylinders. And if you fuck up one of the cylinders, it fucks up the entire ship.
Yep.
We've seen this so many times. We saw it on Death Star 1. We saw it on Death Star 2. We saw it, like, when the Inquisitor died in Rebels.
Yep.
We've seen it 20 other fucking times. Anyway, Maul's like, hey, what's up? Hulk smash. Boom. And the whole ship gets fucked up. It pops out of hyperspace, and it is speeding into the atmosphere of some rando-ass planet.
Yep.
So everyone knows that's a bad idea.
And it annoys me that we never find out what that planet is.
You know, I was wondering if it had been mentioned or not, yeah. because I'll get to why in the end when we make it through this. Okay. But seeing something like being forced to jump out of hyperspace was pretty cool. I mean, yeah. Not gonna lie, it was a surprise and whatever. But anyway, everyone's like, oh shit, we're doomed. Fuck. Ahsoka and Rex try to get a shuttle and they're kind of failing. All of the clones are waiting for them and it's like half and half. It's splitsies, like Ahsoka face paint and then regular clones, so kind of matching Rex. So it's kind of like they're up against themselves in a way, you know? It's really sad. But they're in this little control room area trying to figure out their plan. Ahsoka, Rex, and the droids. They're like, okay, how are we going to escape? Like, where's a free shuttle? I don't know. Like, Maul's running around too. Who the fuck knows where he is? But he's the one who caused all this nonsense. And we need to figure shit out. Ahsoka, again, is like, Rex, we're not going to hurt anything. And he's like, but they want to just kill us, yo. And she's so insistent on it, which is really surprising.
It's surprising, and it's also like, this whole ship is going down anyway. Who the fuck cares?
Yeah, they're going to die no matter what. So just like, oh, well. Yeah. Too bad, so sad. You can't medically, like, take their magic chips out their head on all of them before they crash and then somehow make them parachutes of magic. That's just not going to happen. So they're talking. And Ahsoka, I wrote a line like if I was making a script. Speaking of me just saying I hate writing and would never write a script. Here we go. Ahsoka slowly walks towards Rex with bedroom eyes and removes his helmet. He glances away to the side with a tear in his eye as she puts her hand on his chest. Then nothing. Legit nothing happens.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. I was getting weird vibes from that part of the episode, too. I'm so glad it wasn't just me. I was like, this is weird, and I'm uncomfortable. Okay, thanks, bye.
Yeah, so we're done with that. Ahsoka's still like, nope, we're not killing him. How was my writing? Like, all those three sentences? I felt like I got a good, like, Twilight.
Oh, God, yeah, that was a whole up, like, 50 Shades shit. I was into it. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I should write a book that is randomly based off a nothing bit of the Clone Wars, and I'll turn to something fancy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Twilight was fanfic of 50 Shades.
Other way around, but yeah.
Really?
50 Shades was fanfic of Twilight.
No shit.
Yeah, 50 Shades came after Twilight. It was inspired by Twilight.
Wow. Okay. Either way, both suck. Yep. I mean, they're hilarious. They're good for a laugh. I love them.
Speaking of the Robert Pattinson news, are you going to go back and reread Twilight in preparation for the new book?
What new book?
Didn't you hear that there's going to be a new book, a new Twilight book written from Edward's point of view? Same writer, Stephanie Meyer.
Oh. No, I've never read any of them. I've watched the movies to laugh.
Oh, okay. I figured you had read them or something. Never mind. All right.
No.
Back to Clone Wars. Sorry.
I think I tried reading one and I gave up page 3 because I was like, oh my god, I'm going to hate my life if I keep pushing forward with this.
Yeah, probably.
Yep, yep. So here we go. Ahsoka, Rex, and droids come out and they have their little escape plan. Rex is like, hey, Ahsoka's not a Jedi, so it's like totally cool. We don't have to kill her, but it's just not working. So everyone's fighting, lots of pew-pew. The droids are trying to help out how they can, free the ship, do all this stuff. And then, of course, Maul hops in the ship to steal it and drive away on his own.
Yep.
And Ahsoka tries to stop him, and she pulls kind of like what Rey does in Rise of Skywalker, where she's just like grabbing on to the ship to stop it from leaving.
Yeah.
And she definitely has a mental force connection with Maul, you know. And for a minute, it seems like he knows he's doing the wrong thing. And for some reason, the way that it comes across, I actually half expected him just to turn around temporarily and to shoot at the bad clones.
Hmm. Yeah, that would have been a good strategy, probably.
Just because there was, like, that mental connection between them. It wasn't just like, oh, she needs to let go of my ship. There was, like, there's something more. And I just, for some reason, thought that he would kind of help. I don't know why. I wish that would have happened. That would have been really cool. But then we wouldn't have had all the other crazy shit that happens. So they're basically Ahsoka and Rex fighting their way out. Their little droid friends get executed by the other clones. And it's so sad.
It made me sad. They're like little puppies. They're so good and so loyal. They just wanted to help.
No, they're good buddies.
They're good boys.
So onto the escape route, they find a ship to fly away. It kind of looks like a Y-wing. And the main Star Cruiser is just falling apart as it goes through the atmosphere.
Yeah, this is like the Mission Impossible shit, right?
Yeah.
Somebody totally edited this whole sequence with the Mission Impossible theme on Twitter, and I was like so fucking thrilled to watch it. It was like, bam, 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 bam. I think that's Mission Impossible. I don't actually know, but it was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that is.
It was awesome. I was like, yeah, that totally checks out. That scene was badass, though. Like, the animation, how, like, all the shit was flying all over the place.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. So Rex and Ahsoka make it out, as we all expected and knew.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, a really cool scene. Them kind of working together for, air quote, one last time as Jedi and General or Commander or whatever. And that it was just such a relief to see that they were going to be okay, even though you know that everyone else is going down. But I didn't care about everyone else going down at that point because there's nothing you could have done for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There really wasn't anything. It was doom waiting to happen.
Yeah. So after all the skydiving, tense moments, all of that stuff, we kind of have like a hard split. And the music we get is really, is ethereal the right word?
Sure.
Like sad.
Yeah, atmospheric a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah. And Rex and Ahsoka are just like staring at the damage that's been done. They spent time burying everyone they found and like putting their helmets on sticks. And they're both kind of like, they're parting ways, Ahsoka and Rex, and they're kind of looking back at how they buried everyone and the damage that was done. And Ahsoka drops her lightsaber, but as they're looking back, it's still that mix. It's half Ahsoka is looking at her face, kind of, because all the clone painted faces. And then Rex is also looking at his because of all of the commanders from his squad that didn't have the Ahsoka paint on.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's really, really sad that that's the last thing they see is like a weird reflection of themselves, but dead.
Yeah.
Maybe I just went too deep.
No,
there.
I don't think, guys, you did at all. I think that I didn't even really think about that because I only watched the episode once, right when it came out. I haven't been able to rewatch it and I didn't pick up on that. And that's like, I think that's actually a really interesting insight.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of time to find and bury as many people as they could.
Yeah.
And then we cut completely to the future somehow. There's snow covering the land, Imperial shuttle landing. There's snow troopers all over the place, probe droids everywhere. Why the fuck are they on this planet, or why do they care about this planet? I have no idea. Also, don't know how long it's been time-wise, just because I'd imagine from like snow and snowstorms, things could look drastically different in a very short amount of time. But holy shit, it is Vader. What the fuck? I was not expecting that at all. Some of the helmets are still on their spikes. Some aren't. And I kind of wonder what went through his mind. You know, like, if you're showing up to where some of, like, your clone warriors died, and you see that they were actually given burials, like, what would you think about that? You know, would you say, are there locals that are hiding on this magical planet, or did someone actually do this? I don't know. Like, you know, he finds Ahsoka's lightsaber and ignites it. I wonder if he has a sense that she's alive and just doesn't tell anyone, because who else would do something like that?
Well, my sense was that I sort of interpreted at that point that he had to acknowledge in that moment that she was truly gone, because he finds her lightsaber, the last thing that he ever gave to her as Anakin. Like, she wouldn't just leave it behind. Like, my assumption was that he saw it and assumed, oh, there's no way in hell that she survived Order 66. She must be gone.
I could see it going both ways. And then we see, like, a convoy circling above while he's igniting and looking at her lightsaber. So I don't remember if he saw the convoy or not, but it's just an interesting mix.
Yeah.
I think more than likely, like, he thinks she's dead. But I think there is a possibility that he looks and he's like, these people were buried. They're buried a very specific way.
Somebody did this.
Why would anyone? Yeah. Yeah. Who would do this and why? Yeah. And clearly this was the ship Ahsoka was on, because it has her painted mask.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And he keeps her lightsaber, which I thought was interesting. Have we seen him in any other content, like with a... for funsies,
no, lightsaber. I wonder if maybe it's in his castle somewhere, and if it would show up somewhere in a comic or something maybe someday. But I would be surprised if he took it from there and didn't put it in a safe place, as some sort of sacred place that he could then look back and get it again. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe just like a little prize. Possession area, like murderers, how they have trinkets.
Yeah.
Could be that. And then we get to the last shot, which is beautiful. Again, I was not expecting to see Vader at all in this shit, but the last shot is him turning away and walking, and we see the focus on one of the Ahsoka painted helmets just reflecting him walking away with his cape flowing.
Yeah, I was really surprised to see Vader in this finale. I mean, at the time I wasn't. At the time I was like, oh yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense. We would cut to this. But I would have never predicted, like, oh yeah, we're going to see Vader in the Clone Wars.
Yeah, yeah. And I think maybe he still had some attachment to her, because in the, like, Charles Soule comics, there's clearly still attachment to his old life and to Padme and stuff. So maybe this was kind of a way to mirror that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's definitely plausible, because, I mean, that was always Anakin's problem. It would always continue to be Vader's problem of attachment. It was never going to be anything that went away from him, even, you know, though he sort of changed and became a different person. I don't think that part of him went away.
Yeah. So that ending is just, like, heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
Man. Like...
Ugh. Yeah. So now, what are your thoughts in terms of how the ending compared to what we sort of thought we were going to get based on the Ahsoka novel?
It was a lot heavier than I thought we were going to get. I expected it to end somewhere on Mandalore. And I expect, again, because I just in my head am inventing what I think I remember reading in the Ahsoka novel. But it was a lot heavier than I thought it would be. Not that I didn't think it would be heavy. Obviously, the clones are turning. I wasn't expecting Rex to have had his chip taken out at that time. I thought he had already done it with some buddies for funsies, you know?
Yeah.
Like, woo, let's get drunk and get tattoos.
Yeah.
But not. And I don't know. It wasn't what I was expecting, but all the feels. And I was really happy about it.
See, my thing, I think I've been trying to figure out what it was about the finale that just didn't connect with me, because it was very emotional in some aspects. I totally agree. And the fact that I haven't gone back and compared directly to what the differences are, but from what I'm reading online, people are saying that, like, yeah, they did retcon the Ahsoka novel a little bit because this did play out differently than it did in that book, which I'm like, whatever, it's fine. It's not a big deal. Yeah. But I think what I was sort of wanting a little bit more of was, like, that moment in between that we didn't see where Ahsoka and Rex are, like, burying the people and putting their helmets on the sticks or whatever, and then nothing. Like, I was sort of expecting a little bit of, like, them being like, well, what now? Like, and them sort of discussing, like, well, I'm going to go here and I'm going to go here. Like, I kind of wanted it to lead into something a little bit. And it ended so abruptly with them that I was taken back just a little bit. Like, I must be the only person on the planet complaining about this season 7 finale. I feel like everybody loved it. And I loved it, too. But there was just that one little thing that I feel like I was supposed to get that I didn't.
That's a really good point. I hadn't thought about that at all, but it would have been nice tie-in exposition, regardless of reading the Ahsoka novel and knowing, like, kind of what happened.
Well, yeah, because they don't really do that in the Ahsoka novel either. There's no conversation between the two of them. It just says, like, oh, they created fake graves for themselves and left.
And peace. Yeah. Out. Yeah. Yeah, no, it would have been nice as a Rebels tie-in, because if we are going to get more Ahsoka, I'm still, like, banking on Disney pushing Ahsoka episodes and, like, hey, here's, like, the Ahsoka collection or something, and, like, a list of episodes in a certain order that you watch. And it would have been nice to see, like, you could tell they had a very good relationship.
Yeah.
Throughout the episode, and especially when he was, like, trying to catch her while she was falling in the air with the ship.
Yeah.
I don't know what a good word for that is, but
interceptor.
Intercept, yes. I think, you know, you're right. I think having a more, like, impactful goodbye would make the moment that they see each other in Rebels, like, that much better. Not that it's not good by any means,
yeah,
when they see each other again, but there was an opportunity there.
Yeah, that's really my only complaint, though. I agree that the music in this episode was gorgeous. I thought the animation was good. It's been really strong this whole season. The Mission Impossible scene in particular I thought was really strong. That was really cool to get to see Rex flying a Y-Wing. So I enjoyed all of it, you know, for the most part. There was just, I feel like most people had these really strong emotional reactions to it. And I kind of walked away being like, oh, okay. I guess I have to get to work now because it's Friday. So, yeah. I'm like, at some point, I guess I have to, like, disconnect myself from everything because I can't walk into work being like, you guys, the Clone Wars, because nobody understands me at my office. So I really can't get into that, yeah, there, but that's okay.
But now your office is just your dining room.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And at least I'll say this, at least I have three windows I can look out of and I can open, which is nice. I don't have that in my office.
Yeah, opening windows is great. It's the, like, natural airflow and stuff.
Yeah,
it's,
man,
supposed to be good for virus mitigation shit.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Totally.
Who knows?
Totally, totally. Okay, so we have, like, a shit ton of trivia stuff to get into. Do you have anything else you want to talk about on the Clone Wars? Because I could use a drink break.
Yeah, let's take a drink break.
Okay.
Okay. We're back from our drink break, and now the time has come for
Trivs.
Hurrah! So, I did put a prompt out for Rise of Skywalker and OT questions because we have a special announcement.
Oh, yay! Okay, so, if you haven't heard yet, the Movie Trivia Schmodown is doing a Star Wars tournament, and it's beginning on Wednesday, May 20th. So I will not be competing that day, but the person who wins that day, who is competing, will play against Ken Knapsack, which is really exciting. So I will let you know when I can, when I will be playing. I know what I'll be playing, but I can't tell anyone yet.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, be sure to check that out. Know that the tournament is going to be on Twitch. It's not going to be on YouTube, I don't think at all. Even eventually, I think it's all going to just stay on Twitch. So it will be available live and you'll be able to watch for free on Twitch. You don't even have to create an account, as I understand it. Yeah, stay tuned for details on that. But yeah, trivia is back. Trivia is happening. I'm a member of the Corruption faction this year. So things are going to get fun and interesting. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be really fun. And definitely check out the match on May 20th because there's a chance that whoever wins, I might be competing against them at some point, depending on how well I do in this tournament. So, yay!
Yeah, you can find the brackets online. I think if you follow, usually like Christian Harloff posts. Usually Christian Harloff is the one to post like the brackets and the details. But the Star Wars tournament on Twitch is every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Central. So if you watch it live, that's when you tune in. If you watch it later, that's cool too. But it's just going to be one match at a time. And I think there are 16 competitors?
No. There are eight. Yeah, eight competitors.
Okay. Eight competitors. Alice can't do math. Eight after this one on the 20th, which is kind of a who gets to – it's a play-in. So I'm excited to watch that. I'm going to be watching every Wednesday, but the reason that we want Rise of Skywalker and OT questions is to help Laura kick some fucking ass.
Yeah, man. So anybody who sent those in, I appreciate your help. That'll be a huge help to me. And I guess one other thing I wanted to mention while we're on the topic of trivia is that there have been a lot of virtual trivia events that have been happening, not just in any specific place. Obviously, if you can play at any time, you can play from anywhere with the virtual trivia. So the one that happened on May the 4th, that was an interesting day because all of the questions are multiple choice, which is crazy. But if you take more than 3 seconds to answer, you start to lose points. Like every second that you take to like put your answer in, you lose points. And so you have 15 seconds total, but if you wait the entire 15 seconds to answer, you may only get like 1 out of 10 points or something. So it was crazy. So that was really interesting, sort of getting to know the format. I played on May the 4th. I think I came in 7th that day out of like 200 people. I was kind of getting warmed up and I was having mouse issues, so the speed thing got to me. But I did play again on Thursday this past week, so 2 days ago, against 124 people in the same trivia format, and I came in first place and won, which is really exciting. It's really annoying because the first game that I played, if I had won first place, I would have gotten $1,000, and I didn't like basically get anything from that because I came in seventh. This one I won, and I get a Baby Yoda Funko Pop and $100, which is something. So yay.
Oh, Baby Yoda Funko Pop will be very cute.
I know. It's really cool. So I'm excited for that. But yeah, Tales from Virtual Trivia has been interesting. I'll be interested to see if they keep doing them as the quarantine goes on, because it was sort of fun to get to play against so many people who really have no option but to play as you know, and there's no time to cheat. You legitimately don't have any time to look questions up because it just goes too fast.
Maybe I'll play one if it's not too expensive or if someone hires me, which probably won't be happening in the next few months, but that's okay.
Good times.
Yeah, that's fine. And I'm also very jealous, speaking of Baby Yoda, of all the people who are getting the sweet baby.
Like the plushes and the plush. Yeah. They're awfully cute.
They're very, very cute. So for trivia, we have a couple of options here. Laura, I don't know how you want to do this. Our buddy Alan who does Star Wars 7x7, and he writes insanely amazing trivia books. He actually gave us the unofficial Force Awakens trivia book at Celebration last year, but he sent us each questions to ask one another. We have those. And then, Laura, I have a good deal of Rise of Skywalker questions.
Cool. I wanted to ask you, for my questions that you ask me, hold on just a second. I should have grabbed this during our break, but I need to get up for a second and grab something. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
Is it a present?
Stand by. No. I mean, it was a present for me, but I think you'll be entertained. Hold on.
But I want a present for me. I want attention too.
No, only I get presents because it was my birthday. So I got presents for me. Okay, so just so that I can make sure that I'm all practiced up, I have a pen and a whiteboard. So
good on you.
Yeah, I was thinking that maybe you could do a 15-second timer for each of the questions, and I can write, so it can be like true Schmodown style.
Okay.
But yeah, so before we get into the questions that we got from listeners, why don't we do the questions that we got from Alan? Because his questions are amazing. I'm really excited. And I almost wondered when he sent these to us if he's like working on a new trivia book, which would be really fucking cool. But I didn't ask, and I don't know, and I'm just speculating, so who knows. But yeah, I got Last Jedi questions to ask you, and you got Rogue One questions to ask me, right?
I didn't actually read them in advance, but I know that it is not fair because I don't watch Last Jedi very much. Let's see.
Which is why I texted you this morning and told you you should watch it.
I know, but I had other things to do, like nap and do my Jillian Michaels workout video.
Gotcha. Well, good for you for sticking to it. So how do you want to do this? Do you want to – should I ask you your questions first and then you can just, like, go hard on me? Do you want to do Rogue One questions for me first and then I'll do yours and then we can switch back to me?
How about – let's see. There are a bunch of questions here. So, Alan, we're just going to do 5 this week and 5 next week. Okay. And then, Laura, I will give you some Rise of Skywalker shit.
All right.
And I will put a 15-second timer. 15, it's not 20 seconds, it's 15?
It's 15.
Okay. I'm not going to have a timer because I don't have to do anything special because I retired.
Yeah.
So, Laura, will you ask me first? I will fail badly.
Okay. So, I have, let's see here. So from The Last Jedi, I'm just going to do the first 5 that he sent me.
Fuck me.
What 4 words does BB-8 use to describe Finn wandering in the hallway?
Naked, leaking. Naked, leaking. Walking, bubble.
Incorrect. Finn, naked, leaking bag are the 4 words.
That was close.
Yeah. Sort of a true question because Finn is one of the answers. So that's fun. I like that question.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah. Question number 2. Who tells Kylo Ren he has to fall back from his attack on the resistance ships?
Fall back from your attack on the resistance ships. Hux?
Correct. General Hux.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Question number 3. What Star Wars director has a cameo as a resistance soldier on Krait?
Gareth Edwards.
Nice. Nicely done.
Fuck yeah.
Question number 4. What device will help Rey find her way back to the resistance?
The homing beacon bracelet.
I would accept that. Cloaked binary beacon is the phrase that they use in the movie. It has another name in the visual dictionary that they never say out loud, but I don't remember what it is now.
Half a point. Yeah. Half a point.
All right. Question 5. Your last question for today. What kind of look does Leia tell 3PO to wipe off his face?
Smug.
No. Want to try again?
Smirk.
No. Nervous look.
Asshole.
Yes, his asshole look.
Okay. All right. Not too bad.
Good times.
Not too bad.
Okay.
All right. I will set the timer on you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
15 seconds. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Only
Let's
15. Okay. Hold on, I'm going to have to, like, bring my laptop closer because this is hard to read.
Yeah, I'm kind of asking a lot of you now because now you have to read in time and sorry.
That's fine. With what improvised weapon does Jen hit a rebel soldier after he frees her in the prisoner transport?
Can you do the 5-second countdown when you have it?
4.
Okay.
3.
Binders?
2. A shovel.
Damn it. This is already off to a bad start. Okay, it's a shovel that she hits him with in the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay, here we go. Number 2.
Okay.
What is the name of the Star Destroyer we see hanging over the holy city on Jedha? Excuse me.
Beautiful. The Dauntless.
Yes. Boom. 7 seconds to spare.
Lovely.
All right. Here we go.
Okay.
Number three. What is the first word of dialogue spoken in Rogue One and by whom? Five, four.
Mama three. By Jin.
Yes. Yes, bitch.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I off. Okay. Here we go. Number four. Oh, this is going to be a hard one.
Oh, boy.
This is a more than...
Might need more than 15 seconds?
Yeah.
All right. Well, give me 25 or something then. It's fine.
Okay. I'll just guess. Okay. Whatever. Here we go. Alphabetically, the characters Baze, Bodhi, Cassian, Chirrut, Jen, and K2SO die on Scarif. In what order do they die on screen?
Oh, that's God. Weird. That's a lot. Okay. But I think I can do it.
Okay. Ready? Go.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to time this one. This isn't one that they would ever ask in the Schmodown because it would take too long.
Okay. Yes. Order of death.
Okay.
What a morbid question.
Right?
Solid question, though. It's one that I memorized once upon a time.
I know. I definitely had it memorized at one point, but I'm trying to think if I can actually pull it off now. So it would be... Are there six characters they're looking for?
They're looking for K2, Chirrut, Bodhi, Baze, Jen, and Cassian.
Did you just read me the answer? That's what I put as the answer.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Dude, that's totally what I put, though. I totally got it right. I had to show.
Okay.
I couldn't remember exactly where K2 was in there. He was the guest, but I knew the rest of it.
Visually can confirm success.
That's hysterical.
Oh, fuck me. So dumb. Okay. Okay.
That's awesome.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
God, I'm an idiot. Okay, here we go. What six words are the last words of Saw Gerrera spoken as Jen and Cassian leave his compound?
Save the rebellion, save the dream.
Holy fuck, that you wrote that in, like, no time at all.
Yeah, I mean, I knew what you were going for the first time you read it, so.
One, two, three, four, five. Okay, that's five questions.
Very
Alan,
nice.
We will save the other ones for next week.
Yeah.
Our next episode.
Thank you, Alan. That was awesome. Those are damn good questions.
These are wonderful questions.
Wait, did I get all of mine or did I miss one? I think I missed the first one. Yeah, I missed the shovel one.
Yeah, the shovel one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Okay. So I'll give one from our friend Andy in Australia. From A New Hope. Who flew his Red Six at the Battle of Yavin?
Porkins.
Boom. Porkins' first name. Do you know this?
Is it Jack or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Another one from New Hope. Who flew his Gold Three at the Battle of Yavin? Five, four, three.
Nora Wexley?
Two. No, it is Yvonne Verlaine.
Okay, that was the person I think that threw that. Yeah, I don't know. Gosh, that's a question I think that Damon got one time.
I'm going to force you. Yeah, he said that call signs get people tricked up a lot, mm-hmm. So I'm going to forge you that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now. Would you like some more questions?
Yes, I would.
So we also got questions from Devore, and he sent a voicemail as well that says, for Laura. I'll have to see what it says. So I will be reading a selection of the questions,
okay.
Because some of them you definitely know. How many Rebel fighters attacked Death Star 1?
30.
Correct.
Okay.
Boom. From Empire. When Luke comes out of the Bacta tank, Han tells him that he looks strong enough to do what?
Pull the ears off a Gundark.
Perfect. During the evacuation of Hoth, how many fighters escort each rebel transport?
Two?
Boom. Correct.
All right.
Let's see.
That was a shot in the dark.
That's just correct. I'm going to give you one from Rise of Skywalker.
Let's do it.
And then I'm going to email these, and then I have a few from Luis.
Okay.
That are all Rise of Skywalker, and they're visual dictionary picky.
Oh,
so.
Shit. All right.
Oh, yeah. They're good ones. From the Rise of Skywalker. At what battle did Janna and her company defect? 5, 4, 3, 2.
Anset Island.
1. Perfect.
Yes.
Oop, get out here, timer. Oh, here we go. This is a really good one. At the Battle of Exegol, what does Zori call the first / final order ships?
Sky Trash.
Holy fuck. Damn, bitch. Okay. Yes. Who tells Rey that every Jedi who ever lived lives in you? 5, 4.
Mace Windu?
Qui-Gon Jinn.
Damn it. All right. That totally makes sense. All right.
Okay. Cool. So thank you, Devor, for these questions.
Yeah.
I will be emailing them all to Laura. Forward. Laura. Perfect.
She's literally doing it right now.
Yes. Doing it as we speak.
Thank you.
Okay. And then Louise sent me screenshots on Twitter, so I'm just going to have to ask you from my phone.
Okay.
But I'll forward them to you and stuff. How does Poe respond to C-3PO when he says they should leave Kijimi? Really hard dialogue one.
I don't know. I have no idea.
He tells him to clam it.
Gotcha. All right. That's a good one.
Where did Zori Bliss say she last heard Poe was spotted at?
Monk's Gate.
Boom! Fuck yes!
Sorry that this is taking so long, like so much longer, everybody who's listening. I am writing them out, which is good practice for me, so suck it.
Yes. We all have to support Laura, and this is a good time to do it. What hangar do the protagonists land on when attempting to rescue Chewie?
The incineration hangar.
This says hangar 12.
Oh, well, that might be true too. Good to know.
Yeah, could be both.
Yeah.
And I will do one more. According to Maz Kanata, what will it take for Leia to reach her son?
All the strength she has left?
You are correct, but you missed a sad face.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, no, that's crucial in the schmodown, I think.
So I will send these screenshots to you. Rick had one, too. Let me just get to Rick, because it was just one question. What were Han and Luke's ranks in the beginning of Empire Strikes Back?
Captain Solo and Commander Skywalker.
Yes, bitch.
Yay.
Oh, yeah. All right. I think that's enough trivia for today.
I appreciate that. Thank you, everybody. That was Rick, Andy, Devor, and Alan. Did I miss anyone? And Luis. Thank you. Thank you, guys. That was amazing. Thank you for your help. I very, very, very much appreciate it.
So everything will be forwarded to Laura. Alan, we will do the second half of yours next episode. And keep sending along that Rise of Skywalker shit, because that will be clutch. It is new.
Yeah, yeah. If you have good Rise of Skywalker trivia you want to send, please send those to Alice. She is at Alice@ForceToastPod.com. And Alice is A-L-Y-C-E. So email those to her. If you're going to send her trivia questions, please send her answers too. She doesn't have the visual dictionary, so don't make her go look for it.
Yeah, I'm lazy. And I'm so busy with so many things these days, you know.
Make it easy on my girl. It's all good.
Holler. All right. Good job. Good job, gang. I did not do as poorly as I thought I would because I think, well, Rise of Skywalker, I've seen the least, but The Last Jedi, I've seen the least before that.
Okay.
So what to expect from our next episode? It will be out June 2nd, and we'll probably talk about the Mando docuseries thing because we haven't watched it yet, but maybe we will.
Yeah, we'll get around to it. We'll get around to it. It is really good. I've seen the first episode, and I loved it. I just, you know, it's a timing thing, guys. We'll get around to it.
Yeah, maybe we'll have some sort of schedule update on the trivia tournament. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Could be cool.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. And if any other news, rumors, whatever the fuck comes out, who knows? It could be we have nothing to talk about, at which point it would be great to have questions sent in. We'll see.
Yeah, I love it.
Next. And I think is that Memorial Day weekend we're recording, or is that the week after?
I want to say it's the week after, because I think Memorial Day is like May 25th or something this year.
Not that it matters anyway.
No.
Last up, our toast two. Laura, have at it.
So I have a couple of toast twos because I think I mentioned earlier in this episode that yesterday was my birthday, and I got a lot of love from everyone on Twitter, and I really, really, really fucking appreciate that. And I'm sure that I got all that love from Twitter because Alice sort of instigated all of that. So I appreciate you posting that, and I appreciate everyone who shouted me out. I'm sorry if I didn't respond. I was really, like, not engaged on Twitter at all yesterday. I took the day off of work, and my sister and I, who don't own a car here in Chicago, we went and rented a car, and we ran a bunch of errands, and we drove up to Wisconsin and went to Lake Geneva and went on, like, a little nature hike out by the lake, and it was just so fun. It was the funnest day. We went to Culver's and got Culver's for lunch, and we bought, like, a bunch of New Glarus Spotted Cow beer, which you can only buy in Wisconsin, and it's fucking good. So that's what I'm drinking now. I switched to that after I finished the champagne, and it's so amazing. So we have like 4 cases of that here now, which is great. And yeah, it was a great day. I also want to shout out our buddy Alden, who we recorded that Attack of the Clones commentary with. He got Taylor Gray to record a cameo for me for my birthday. So Taylor Gray is the voice actor of Ezra Bridger on Star Wars Rebels, and it was the most fucking delightful thing I've ever seen. It was so fun. So I'm just gonna play the audio here because I want you all to hear it, because it's just so fucking cute.
Laura, happy belated birthday. This is Taylor Gray, Ezra Bridger from Star Wars Rebels, Spectre 6, transmitting from the ghost down to you to say happy, happy birthday. Your friend Alden, he got in contact with the ghost and wanted us to send a huge birthday message to you for all that you do. And I hope you had a wonderful day. You were celebrated and loved. There's so many people that care about you, Alden included. I hear that you are a co-host of Force Toast, a Star Wars happy hour. I love so many things about that. I love Star Wars. The name Force Toast is amazing. And I love a happy hour. Everyone needs it, especially during this quarantine, which has been such an odd time. So I hope your birthday was amazing during it. I know that it's weird. I'm missing friends and high fives and hugs and family. But it is a great time to have a drink, to toast to all your listeners. I can't wait to check out the podcast. I hear you're working super hard during the quarantine, which is such a great thing to be doing, because I think we all see how there's a potential to be very lazy during this. But that is wonderful to hear. I hope you had a great birthday. I can't wait to check out the show myself. Thank you for being a fan of Star Wars and Star Wars Rebels. I hope you enjoyed every part of the show. And happy belated birthday. May the Force be with you always.
It's so cute. I like how he thinks our hour is about being happy and only lasts an hour.
Right? I'm like, it's okay. You don't have to listen to our show, baby.
He's in it and for a surprise. Yeah.
So yay.
All right, cool. Those are some good ones. For me, my toast to is myself. And what a brat, right? Here's why. I, for the first time in my life, am going to complete this fucking Jillian Michaels 30-day shred video that I have had since 2007 or 2008. I have never made it to level 3. You do 30 days in a row, 10 days each level. Never made it to level 3. Never made it more than like 2 days past level 2. And I started on May 1st. It's the 16th. So I'm more than halfway through level 2. Granted, I cheated on the 14th because I only half-assed it because my ankle wasn't feeling awesome and I didn't want to push it. But I have committed and I should be finished with it the next time we record.
Oh my God. So I'm proud of myself. That's going to be so cool that you're going to be done. That's nuts.
I'm very proud of myself.
I'm proud of you too.
I haven't accomplished much of anything in a long time.
Oh, I'm sorry you feel that way. I think that's amazing. It's very, very cool. I'm like, I wish I was more of a cheerleader friend for you so I could be like cheering you on 24/7, but I'm not that friend, and unfortunately I'm sorry about that. But I'm very proud of you. I think that's very exciting. It's very cool, and it's good for you to be working out because we should all at least be doing something so that we're not being totally sedentary 100% of the time. So good for you, Alice. I love it.
Thank you. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it this time. I'm scared shitless of what level 3 holds, but I can do it.
I love that. That's really, really cool. I think you should be proud of yourself, so I think that's great.
Thank you. Yeah. So I toast to me. Me, 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 me.
Dude, it was my birthday. I've been toasting to me all weekend, so it's all good.
Perfect. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of episode 35. I still can't believe how much time flies, man. Like, how are we at 35?
Yeah, I have no idea.
It's going to be 50 before you know it.
Right?
Anywho, hope you guys have enjoyed. I know there's a lot of weird shit going on, and we appreciate you listening to us talk about weird shit, quite frankly. And if you like what you hear, please rate us on Apple Podcast. 5 stars and some nice funny comment always makes us happy and help spread the news.
Yeah, follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Forced Toast Pod. You can follow Alice at Slaya All Day, and you can follow me at @shutup_Laura, and you can email the show at forcedtoastpod@gmail.com. You can subscribe to our show at anywhere you can find podcasts. We are everywhere and everywhere, and we want to be even more places. So if there is a platform you use that we're not on, please let us know, and we will make sure that we get there.
Willy Wonka.
And the golden ticket?
Your face is a golden ticket.
It is. It is. It's won me a lot of stuff.
How many fighter escort each? How many fighters what? He was born in 1907, and he died before we were born. Okay, that's it.
All right.
Anyway. I've got the golden ticket.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Golden ticket in the golden way.
And then they do that dance with Gene. What's his name?
Gene Wilder.
Yeah.